Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View Podcast. This is our big end of year review show. I'm joined by Stephen and Sean, the two stalwarts. So welcome aboard, lads. We'll do the club and we'll do the county. The county was unfortunately a case of the same again with Limerick. Well, the club, we've new champions with Kildangan, continues the variation in Tipperary hurling. A couple of comunicado officials, so a couple of plugs to put in, as this is the Christmas season, so a lot of clubs are fundraising and all that, so there's a couple of very worthwhile causes. So in, again, the home of hurling, Clonmel, on the 27th of January in the local bar, there is a right night in store for the Dylan Quirk Foundation. Loads there, Anthony Daly and a few of his podcast lads, Liam Sheedy, John Lahey, Declan Ryan, Bubbles O'Dwyer, Paul Collins. Great night in store. Tickets are €10, and that includes an entry and raffle. So you get those, I think, from the local bar, or there's a few lads going around selling them as well. So that's, and we'll tweet that out on the socials as well. So that's the Dylan Quirk Foundation. That's a 2024 hurling preview. It'll be the second best one you get after this one. And then there's also a Dwala tractor run. So that's on the Saturday, the 16th of December, at the Horse and Hound Pub in Dwala Road in Cashel. Entry fee is £20. So if you have a tractor and you want to doll it up a bit, fire away. And that's in aid of the Dylan Quirk Foundation, again, great cause, and Seesaw Mental Health. So that's another great cause. So again, auction and disco on the night as well. So that's another great night, lads. So the county season, Stephen, Limerick again, 4 in a row. All the talk has now turned to 5 in a row, but they had their few injuries and stuff. But look, they were as impressive as ever, weren't they?
Yeah, they're a team now that you need to pip them somewhere along the line before the All-Ireland final, you'd be thinking, because they're so well tuned, they're so well drilled, and look, they're a bunch of great hurlers as well, that you're probably not going to get them in the final. You know, it's probably maybe at the end of their cycle you might get them in the final, but I think at their peak, everyone's everyone is, you know, prone to an old, poor old game, you know, and it's usually on the way to a final. And I think that's where we're going to, hopefully we're going to stop the drive for 5 next year. And hopefully we'll do it again for the GAA diehards around the country.
Yeah, so look, Stephen, look, are we in a much worse place, I suppose, this time around? You know, we've ended the season with a look, it was like a wake here after the Galway game with a poor enough defeat to Galway where the performance maybe belied the result, the closeness of it. A late goal, and then, you know, coming back off a real deflating defeat against Waterford in the last round robin kind of group game, and, you know, a facile win over Offaly in between. But, you know, where exactly are Tip, you know, as we go look into the new year, I suppose.
Yeah, look, it's been a while now since the Galway game, so you can think differently and reflect on it a little bit better, and you try and take the positives. We have absolutely improved on last year, and we've progressed further than the year before. The flat performance against Waterford, you would allow a bit of leeway, a bit of credit in the bank, but then it came again against Galway, and that was upsetting. That was, you know, you'd be worried for Tipperary, but then on the flip, you look. There could have been a touch of burnout come the end of the season because Tip had to be in tip top shape, and they had to be ready for the first round of the Munster Championship. So probably it could have been a case of going hammer and tongs from the get go. You know, when other teams are probably a little further down the road, they can tailor their training, their regime, their schedule throughout the year a little bit different to Tipperary. You would be worried that for the lack of fight, you know, I wouldn't dare say these players went out and didn't try, or same with management, but, you know, the example I'd use is if a little brawl broke out against Galway, I think we get flattened. Because I don't think we were up for a fight at all. You know, and if you're not up for... I'm not saying you have to go brawling at inter-county level, but if you're not up for playing on the edge, you know, in an inter-county game, All-Ireland quarter-final, there's something lacking, there's something missing somewhere, and hopefully the management could put their finger on it, what it was, and have us better prepared, hopefully for another All-Ireland crack next year.
And Sean, you know, they're back at it now. Like, you know, we see a Tipperary selection, I suppose, playing against Laois last week, or Laois selection, who are a little bit stronger by all accounts in terms of more established personnel. There's also a development panel 15, or however they're styling it, playing this weekend in Feddert. So, you know, they're kind of back at it already. Liam Cahill is trawling, doing the look for players. Does he have to be, you know, they're changing the format of the league again next year. So it becomes in 2025, it'll become a little more competitive with a top group and a second seven, I think it is. So does that make the league a bit more important for Tipperary? Then, as Stephen said, they were maybe at it from, you know, they won the championship this time around, but do you think the league will there be a bit more bite at this year? Because last year, look, it was interesting for us because we had a new manager, but it was a series of challenge games by the end of it.
I think it much to much as Kevin, to be honest. The league is the league. Like, last year we went out versus Clare. We didn't want to lose 6 months of games in a row. What county does, you know? So we stopped that. The aim of the first day in Ennis to win that. Like, the league was get through the league, make sure our injuries, try and find a few lads. But, like, I think last year especially where our eyes were glued at that Clare game. This year maybe a bit different, right? With kind of bred in lads, like we saw a lot of names there that played last weekend in Laois. We see more lads in Kerry this week. You know, there's lads from clubs all over the county, so a lot of them might be up to a lot of Mara, but like we'll end up probably with maybe picking three or four out of them, maybe come championship of even to make the panel. But the way that you say the format going, the fixtures are released there today, like it's going to be, you're going to have to grab by the scuff of the neck. Like, we could probably name 12 or 13 lads that will probably start come next April. But, like, there'll be one or two lads that, if you want to earn the spot, they'll have to stand up in the league and make count. And, like, Cal is looking for these extra players. Like, you can't, like, we, to be honest, last year, and we named the tip team nearly, you'd name the tip 14, or you name all bar position nearly, to be honest, that would start last year. This time last year, we're kind of talking maybe in January. So it's just to see, can we find them extra lads and just not titter out last year's championship. I thought the Waterford game deflated us massively there. Like a home game, semi-stadium, last round, it was a chance to knock out a Limerick team as well. You know, get the win over Waterford and see what Cork can do then. But it tittered out then, the Offaly game, pretty flat receded as Offaly hurling is, like, you know, but then it's kind of pitched to go to Galway. But this year, I think it's just to stay going, don't, like, get out of the blocks and kind of don't let something go against you that kind of could knock on further down the line then, like it did last year.
Yeah, and we interviewed Jake Morris a couple of weeks ago, and you know, you could tell by him, you know, the enthusiasm was definitely there, chomping at the bit to get back at it. And do you think, throw this out to Woody, it'll be more for Tip, even though we are doing the normal trawl of players, four players, and we are hearing everything from 8 to 10 new players, as you probably look, coming off a couple of big retirements and all that. But leading Cal's into second year, do you think it'll be more evolution than revolution?
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, I don't think we're going to find a whole heap. As we said today, that's probably going to influence the starting 15. I think most of the team is going to pick itself, as Sean said. Where they're going to pick is, you know, will be another debate. I think if what we need to find out of all these lads that are up there now, obviously we would love to find lads that can make the breakthrough straight away. But what we need to find is lads that, when they're part of the panel and they're coming on in games, or when they're in training, that they're going to make, you know, they're going to catch the eye here. It's not just going to be, you know, you have a big run of marking a new lad there that's not really going to offer much competition to him. Like, you know, you want these lads chomping at the bit, but you want them good enough to actually make a difference, be it in training or coming off the bench, you know, because as I said, I don't think we're going to find too many starters, you know, but he has to find a competitive squad that, God forbid, if Ronamar went down injured, you know, we don't want to be getting considerably weaker because of it. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to Ronamar, but Ronamar is a brilliant hurler. We need lads that come off the bench that, look, they're not going to be as good as Ronan, but we're not going to be too weak either, you know. And so I think the blueprint is there from last year. You know, there were some, especially the first half of the season, we worked the ball through the lines brilliantly, and we put it into places there that suited us. But something came a cropper in the second half of the season that it just wasn't working. I think we were launching ball a little bit more when we were kind of deviating from the game plan. But like, he knows he's a year with these players now, and he's going to be getting in hopefully one or two more of these lads will make an impression on the squad. So I don't think we're going to see a whole heap of a different change of game. I just think he's going to manage it. He's going to manage it a little bit better, that we get out of Munster this year, that we're actually going to put up a performance in the All-Ireland Championship, you'd be hoping.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, it's a kind of a glass half full, isn't it, Sean? Like, you know, we got out of Munster this year. Probably looked the last day colour our experience, the whole thing against Waterford. We were gunning for a Munster final, as Stephen said, maybe could have knocked out Limerick as well, or could have, you know. But like, how the Lean Kyle scorecard at the end of the year, would you give him a B, kind of C?
Yeah, like,
C plus, maybe.
You know, like Sarah Lash, we were saying,
I'm sure he cares anyway.
Yeah, like, don't be like, make an improvement, win a Munster game, first game in six attempts, win it. No, do that, win that, get that off back, and go from there. Like, came third there, two draws, like, you know, like, imagine there are two wins, like, you know, there's a big change around, but like, one loss, you kind of take that, and the one loss was the last day that the Waterford team went just kind of a bit flat, you'd say, you know. So prior to that, they were firing hung ho. You have to say it's an improvement, there's no two ways about it. But I think it's an extra, what an improvement that is, come in the top two, you know, probably trying, if you can skewer your Munster final spot prior to last game and rest that, and then go out again, Munster final, and win it, and just do what Limerick do, just keep winning. You know, I know they had some bumps during the year, Limerick, but like, what good is Clare beating them there in April when, you know, shit came to the forward end down the line, they couldn't do that.
Exactly. And just, I suppose, complete the inter-county review. Tip minor under-21, probably a bit of a damn squib as well. The under-21s were, you know, a bit of criticism, the style of play maybe came up short. The minors coming off an All-Ireland win, then couldn't reproduce, get near it, I suppose. You will have those years.
You will. And look, that's, I think they're going to happen, especially with younger lads. And what the inter-county minor and 21s that we're so used to seen on TV are going to watch matches. They're a year younger as well, so inconsistency is going to be a huge part of their game. You know, consistency don't come until you get older, or else unless you're a star player. But I suppose the disappointing thing for me for the under-20s was the lack of bravery. You know, when we were playing Clare, they had some good players and you knew they were a good, organised, well-set-up team. But we were right in the game. You know, we had them on the rope, not on the ropes as such, but like we were punching really well at times. But in the second half, then we just, you know, we withdrew so far out the field. Like I'm saying it for years, you're not going to win matches with five forwards, let alone only having two forwards up there. And I think the lack of bravery and along with the negative tactics, I think really put a dampener on the under-20s for me, you know. And it's, I don't enjoy negative hurling, and I don't think Tipperary should ever head down the road of negative hurling. And I'd like to uncoach those players that played negative hurling. Like, you know, I'd like to coach it out of them, you know, and I'd like to see tip teams be a little bit more brave. Like we see with the minors the year before, the bravery they showed in closing down the Offaly lad that was coming out, the one who went looking for the free, and then we got the free, and the bravery that the young lad showed by going 7 feet into the air to pull on that drop ball to win the All-Ireland. Like, that's bravery, actually going for it. You know, you can have all the tactics in the world, but if there's no bravery along with it, and that comes from management, if there's no bravery along with it, then I think, you know, you're going to be stuck in the middle of the pack for a long time, you know. So that it did put a dampener on for me, the negative tactics for the under-20s. Something I hope to see rectified in the new year.
Yeah, and look, again, we had the usual winter talk now about the structure, Munster Championship and all that. You'd have to say Cork are coming a bit this year. Waterford, Davy, second year now, will be more competitive. Limerick will be Limerick, and Clare have to shit or get off the pot, don't they? So it's not going to be any easier next year, Sean.
No, it's not like Clare do say they are going to come strong in, it's Clare, Limerick, you know, in my eyes, and then kind of know the rest of us then behind it. It's like Waterford, like with David, like what's going to get out of them lads? Like, you see Ballygunner there, club level, like destroying lads. Like, them, some of the lads should be stepping up and say, lads, cop the fuck on. Like, you know, they're leaders with the club, like, just be leaders of the county, unless there's politics involved down there. And Cork comes strong underage, like, a lot of them lads, they last year were kind of first and second season lads. Like, they're going to come on in my eyes. Like, next year, like, our home games next year in Munster are crucial, our two home games, like, we need to get the wins in them. No two ways about it.
Then you have two away games first, don't you?
But the thing is not to be going, use them and going on a downer, like two big losses. If you pick a win or draw or something, go in then. I say win or two home games and you're getting through. Like, but problem is, morale could be low if you go off and get hammered in either two games. But I don't think you will.
That's a game of inches anyway.
Yeah.
For sure. Right, we'll have to rip off the band-aid now, Sean. So another, for Turles Arce, is another county final replay defeat.
Two by two.
And it was a crack. You know, it was again another very, very good game. But look, we've given you a bit of time now to reflect and thoughts again. You know, I'll talk about the club championship as a whole. Kildangan didn't probably go on and get a win in Munster, which might validate that championship a bit more. In terms of, you know, when people are trying to get at the overall strength of the Tipperary Club Championship. But we are happy, lads, aren't we? We have a very competitive championship. Mm-hmm. Ballygunner are just going to win Munster anyway. Fair.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, I never really was able to get on board with this nonsense that because we're not performing in the Munster Club Championship that we're not a competitive county. I think we are. Bar, when Sars were winning 3 and 4 in a row, they were desperate to win Munster. I say Sean would agree with that. But the championship we've had the last 5-6 years, where there's been different winners every year, bar Boris Lee's run because of the pure magic by Brendan Maher. Like, it's a bonus competition for like, and I know people say, oh, but it's the Munster championship, you know, but it is, but your be all and end all at the start of the year for 99% of clubs in Tipperary, no matter what grade you play, is to win that county. And you know, you're relying on a little bit of luck as well then when when you go up in the Munster Championship. So on the flip side, then when people talk about how we're not competitive, that our championship mustn't be competitive, and you know, we're since 2001, I think we've 3 Munster champions, Tommy Vara twice and Boris Lee. You know, but we've at county level we've won All Irelands, multiple of them. So we're producing the hurlers. I think the championship this year, championship last few years have shown we have a very competitive championship. And then you go down to Ballygunner and Waterford. They are walking all over Waterford teams the last 10 years. They're one of the favourites for Munster every year, and they're probably the favourites for All-Ireland this year. And you're thinking, well, if they're doing that well, they must be in a competitive championship. They're not. It's probably one of the poorest from all the hurling counties. It's probably the poorest championship going. You know, you have your win at the start of the year, and all the rest of them are only making up the numbers. So I wouldn't, I'm not reading too much into their lack of success in the Munster Championship. Because I don't think it stacks up at all, you know.
Absolutely. And look, Sean, I suppose just go and discuss that county final. There's a tale of 2 goals. I think it's Paddy Creed with the early one, and then the Sean Hayes with the key.
Yeah, Sean Hayes with 3 to go then, yes. Like
Creed. Yeah, 3 minutes to go, and that's David.
Yeah.
Got the great start, but wasn't to be.
Disappointing, like, especially after getting the start. You want to get out of the blocks, had we? Because I won 3 or 4 to a point there after about 10 minutes. No, it looked, I was like, this one would then keep hanging. I think they hit for 5 or 6 in a row, and so at that stage, kind of killed our momentum. And then at that point, like the second half, then that Sean Hayes go 3 or 4 minutes ago was just a killer blow. Like, trying to think back the ball.
The bravery, you talk about that, like to go for it as well, because it wasn't an easy goal chance.
Cross the goal, like, you know, and then we still got 3, and I think we got like 3 after that, did we? But, and then at the end, when the ball falls to Ronan Maher, it's 8 yards out, you think, who else wanted to fall to? And it just didn't stay between the posts. You know, disappointing. But, like, it's a cracking, like, year, like, club-wise, like, the first sign on telly, 2 of them on telly, like, and people, like, they were the physical strength on show of both teams and the power, like, and that's top-level club hurling, like. I know Killangan went down at Hanlara in the same final, and, like, Langland be kicking themselves over that. Like, that was, it's a crazy game when you couldn't even write that kind of stuff to happen at the end.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, like, would they think about people going, our club game is strong, but they're not saying, but yet, why are the teams are in relegation? Why were they there? Like, you know, like, just, is it that everyone's kind of at this one level that's maybe below the best? The way you can look at it, or is it on the day some teams can outfeed the others? But, like, this year, some teams make great strides, like, Ross Gray, Toome, you know, like, there's teams there that are enjoyable to watch as well. They may not have got to win it, but, you know, they came out and heard all they did, and other teams then kind of fell away by the wayside.
Yeah, look, you're not going to have a good year every year, aren't you, not with the clubs, but I think it is well balanced now. There's always going to be the question mark about the division link for the next couple of years anyway. So, you know, that's probably the one thing maybe a few would like to maybe remove the link or change the link, you know, Clonelty we saw.
Yeah, the draws, especially the draw if you win your division and come second or in a primary. Is that emotional? Is that
There's two motions involved in the divisional link that I think is excellent. One is if you win the division and finish second in the group, you bypass the preliminary quarter final. And then the other one, it could be from upper church, I can't remember, is if you win your division but come fourth in your group, there's no passage out of the group. And I do think that's I think that now that's something a small club like ours could really benefit from. But I think that's a fantastic motion, because if you come last in your group, I don't think you deserve another shot in the county group stages after coming last, even though you won your division. I think it keeps the groups honest, you know, and the situation we had this year there with Connolly finishing bottom of the group, and it kind of held up the championship, the relegation championship by semi-finals by, I think it was two full rounds, you know, and I don't think that's good for other clubs either. So there are two motions I'd be in favour of, you know, and even though the second one could possibly affect smaller clubs.
What was your game in a championship last club, or anything stand out, or any team that winning that stood out there, like, you know, that came on a day and brought it home?
He's on the spot now. The Tomb of Arrow one went to extra time.
Yeah, that was a humdinger of a game.
Yeah.
You know, it had everything.
It had it all.
Some say it wasn't the best hurling, but geez.
The last goal
was at the end and everything.
It was last fucking game, yeah.
It had everything. Like, there was probably better standards in other games, but it had the whole stadium off their feet. Like, you know, if two teams can generate that kind of atmosphere and interest, and people give out about the stadium atmosphere, and I tell you, I was up there that day, and it was not long the stadium atmosphere then, because of them. It was a brilliant game this year.
I think as well, the last couple of minutes of our game, Burgess and Permanent Meade as well, could have went anyway. It was tit for tat. Yeah, the sending off and the debates on that, and the free, it could have been a free, you know. So there wasn't many games either that were landslides either. A lot of them were a goal could have nicked at the end, or a few points here and there. So that kind of made them all exciting, you know. Like, I went to a lot of games and you kind of couldn't decide a winner till maybe late on a few games. Maybe Dala were off, but then Dala's like fucking, it's like Victoria, the waterfalls, is fucking raining every day of the week up there. So it's hard to play a proper game, isn't it?
Yeah, the Premier Intermediate had a few excellent games as well. The Killinall Stars game, the semi final. I suppose that was a surprise result. In fairness, like, there's that Stars team, there's always only a couple of points either way in the games. That championship as well, it's a new one, but it's starting to get its own identity, which is great as well. You know, like, as it settles down, which is positive. Look, an Upper Church are a very strong team coming into next year, so it'll be really interesting now to see how they go. You know, whether they bounce straight back up. That's my fear with one up.
Yeah, that's the fear. Every year when the clubs go down, they're always, they'll go straight back up. But like, Laura came up to meet it and win it. Like, you know, so a team that was supposedly...
Yeah, they're all go down and nearly...
Our team rated like we were four and got up then, like, you know. They're all them that we played in the first day, Betham, you know, which... Look at the draw, and, you know, we'd probably made one or two lads didn't play that year, but, you know, it's still... They still had it in their hands, and after that, and they could do it. But there's not given easy in tip championship when you go down. Like, it's an absolute slog. Like, the one thing is, you don't want to go down again, you know, and down again. Like, you know, Borland took a good lot to come back up, and to come back up flying now. But that's a big rebuild they have to do. And to be fair to them, they're flying back up now. Like,
yeah, and Stephen, I suppose just intermediate, the potential of the South. Cap White had a good year, great year, you know, but the potential of the out maybe not being fulfilled. Ballingarry maybe might be a bit disappointed with their year. Kilsheelan, I think, are definitely disappointed, you know, another semi-final defeat. Davins, I think, had 3 points after two games and had a bit of a mare against Kickham, was it? So we won't go back over all ground, but, you know, there's a few Skeheen couldn't match the heroics of 2022. So there's a bit of work there to be done for the South teams, isn't there?
There's a bit of work there to do for every look. Skeheen, the previous year, were coming off the back of a long Munster campaign, so you expect to bounce off teams coming up, like, you know. Kilsheelan would just be not but heartache for them to go out the way they went out. So, you know, they were red hot favourites. Look, they had a tough group. They probably drew a lot of energy out of them. They're a senior football club as well, you know. I probably associate them more with, as a football club than a hurling club. So when you put so much effort into the football, it's going to take a toll on a hurling. And look, Ballingarry are strange because, you know, they're a big club for a long, long time, you know, and especially at senior level, when in the south, when you never expected anything of them, that's when they did something, you know. And for them to come down into intermediate and not get out of the group stages 2 years in a row, you know, that's a tough ask. Like, you know, it just shows the competitiveness of the grade. Look, ourselves, I suppose it's an improvement on the relegation semi-final where we're in. We felt, you know, we could have done a little bit better in the south final, and the last day against Knockavilla is just, look, we won't mention anymore, only for it being horrendous. And hopefully that's something that we can fix going forward next year. And you know, I think it's good for the Tipperary Championship that the south gets competitive again, because, and it's not just saying, oh, we need all divisions competitive. You know, the West needs more teams that are competitive, all of them. You know, we can't be allowing just the North and Mid to carry the can. We need all four divisions
Yeah, I'm
healthy
worried
and
about the way
competing.
it's a bit, lads. Barcashel and the Nauti, maybe there doesn't seem to be a whole pile, like the competitive championships, but again, the quality doesn't seem to be there. Some of them seem to be struggling for numbers. I think that could be, we talk about maybe like clubs having to kind of join up with things of various age, but I think that we might see that in West Tip, the way it's so rural, that you might have to see that kind of clubs to remain strong. So it's something to watch over the next 5 years or so. They might come again.
Yeah, you'd be a little bit worried for him, all right. But look, I suppose it's hard for me to be too worried for him when our own worry is in the south. Like, so, you know, we've the hope we can fix ours first before the others fix theirs. But no, it's needed. Like, you know, a good strong West Championship is needed as well. Clonulty, I think, will always be Clonulty. They'll always be. I know they had a tough time this year in the relegation, but they're always going to be there. They're always going to put it up to any team that they're playing against. Cashel
Yeah.
really do have to make a breakthrough. They really do. They have the numbers, the resources, everything. You know, if they don't make the breakthrough, there's something psychologically wrong rather than any other aspect of things. So,
And
yeah, look.
yeah, like with Cashel, I think the Premier to me to be stronger again next year. A lot of teams down at Wiz End had a lot of young players and they're getting better. Like, so it's not going to, like, Burns are going to be strong again. Like, we are off turners be strong. Can all bounce back again? Like, the win is going to take more. Like this year, Cashel got the chance to win, like nearly over the line. But again, it's what ifs, and to get back there again
Yeah,
next year to win up
Tramore will
Thurshan
be
can make something.
another. Yeah, it is true.
You
It is
know.
very, very competitive, and there won't be enough. There won't be a lot in it between a quarter final and a relegation semi final for a lot of clubs. Don Loglads is in the media again. I think he's right again with the GAA go. Maybe like he's I think three of Cork's games now are on GAA go next year. So Tip had this, their first two games of 2023 were on it. So now it's Cork's turn to be the cash cow for GAA go, get the annual subscriptions in.
Oh.
Don't know what you think of this, lads. I know I was a bit underwhelmed with GAA go this year.
Yeah, this year now I thought the first thing is all this week. Just comparing it to Clubber, for example, I thought Clubber worked perfectly. GAA go didn't. I know, but I think a lot has to do with the scheduling of games next year. GAA calendar is so condensed and they're trying to show football to the raw the audience. They aren't they, like provincial finals are all fixed to weekend of the 2 months
Yeah,
to
I think
hurling
that's in the
games. Like there's
contract.
only four or five slots in RTE, like they've no other way of showing it. They've show other stuff. Like it's the problem with the calendar, like over the years there before this new calendar, like hurling 1 week, football be other. There'd be only four or five games on some weekend, you know. And that was like now we could have 10 games on, 12 games on. There'd be games that won't even be on telly extra, I say.
Yeah, and it all, I suppose, builds to that crescendo. You could say, look, the football gets going at the Super 8s or whatever, and but the hurling, the real prime time is early on the year, so that maybe should be prioritized by RT or by the terrestrial channels. So it's not
Would there
happening.
be an opening for, let's chat to someone there, let's just put a Friday evening game under lights, or you wouldn't need other lights in summer on RTE? Would attendances go to a Friday evening game, say Tip and Limerick in Limerick, or would it just work with people working and players and stuff?
I think for a television spectacle, it's great. I think Steve's going to say, you know, from a player, amateur players, you have to factor in that now. Like, you know, it changes the whole dynamic. You're on about a half day and a Friday and all as well, probably a day off about it. But from a punter's perspective, from a watcher's perspective, it would be ideal.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think TV only would be, it'd be ideal for, because from a supporter's point of view, you're probably finishing work early, and if you're not finishing early, you're literally home on the road, and you're probably only up there for throwing. You know, you're putting an awful lot of pressure on people to get to the attendance, and then basically if it's on a Friday night and it's on TV, you're probably not going to go then. You know, it'll affect attendances. But just on the GAA goading, I think I don't know, Sean, was it you that had it broke down to all the games that are on it and the money that it costs is 61 cent a game or something like that? Or did I read that's
1 euro? Well, the 1.30 I think it was a game.
One thirty a game. When you break it down like that, it's
long for it.
Yeah,
like it looks excellent value when you break it down like that. But I think the biggest problem is so many people have difficulty with it. You know, trying to get tuned in, you know, and the proper picture and things like that. And I think that's part of the problem. You know, it's not like the job that Clubber is doing, Barrett and Tala, it's fantastic. Like, you know what I mean? And the GA go then are not holding a candle to them. And you're comparing, you're watching a match on RT and then you're going watch a match on GA go and it's chalk and cheese because the coverage. If they want to start charging for taking it away from terrestrial TV and start charging for Tipperary and Cork down in Páirc Chaoimh or whatever, you know, coverage has to be spot on. It has to be top class. Like, you know, you can't be second rate coverage if you're going paying for it.
Like, I think one thing that would solve it all is if they could possibly just get it onto Skybox or Virgin Box. Like, they have Racing TV, of Premier Sports. There's channels there that people don't know exist.
There's not enough boxes, I'd say.
You know, have it on whatever channel, but like if it's available on, you could pay. Like, remember years ago, get a ring up, say Racing TV or UK Racing, pay your 70 euro for the year, give them a Sky account as on their TV. At least that's, you know, that wasn't hard 10, 15 years ago. It'd probably be easier even do it now. Like, but if you could even get a channel, it would make some difference. But like, then the cost of broadcasting the single stuff, but yeah, have money less. Like, you just see by the amount of money that's being spent there, reports out the last few days of
the management cost of coming through, aren't they?
Absolutely outrageous. But sure, nothing for nothing nowadays. Like, a lad to give your open out, 200 quid, like, you know. Perhaps, like, you know, it is the cost of stuff now. No one will do that anymore for nothing. Like, that's the way it is.
Yeah, look, at least there's a little bit of transparency begin to creep in there. Talking about the, you know, the management fees and the coach backroom fees coming through on the annual accounts. Look, they're big animals these days, the inter-county teams. So yeah, I suppose, look, at the counties, nearly they are fundraising nearly year round now at this stage, you know, auctioning the houses and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it is a big enterprise. I don't know what happened to that thing that Tip were doing, but the special group they set up for fundraising or whatever. I see they had a Santa Dash there last week, so hope it was more than that. But yeah, we might be a little bit behind there.
Yeah, when you go through the Galway report there, you know, and the fundraising they're doing, and you know, I wouldn't be privy to anything that's going on in Tipperary, like, but you'll be wondering, like, are we behind the times there? Are we a little bit slow to get into the modern times? You know, you see counties raffling off houses and things like that. Jesus Christ. You know, surely there's something we could be looking at in Tipperary, like, you know, and
look, we do have the county draw, so maybe we're a bit forward on that, like, you're the club draw. So
I think it's just people are kind of a bit disconnected at the moment from it because they're not winning. Like, if you're winning, I think lads make some difference as well. Like, lads are probably saying, we did all right here last year. We'll do it again if we get another performance this year. Yeah, but like, they are 3 or 4 years ago, we're poor. Like, and people are no morale. I think that's what, if you go to lad, buy a ticket of 100 euro, fake off. Like, you know. That's what I think that was.
Christmas book recommendations, lads, before we wrap up. Don't have to be sport, because we all know there's some shite GAA books on the market every year with lads who just making a quick buck buck off them if you can make a buck off of a book these days. We did one with Humphrey Kelleher, who would be the opposite. It's a brilliant book or whatever for the GA fan with the 101 places to play. So Humphrey's he's a sound lad. He was on there chatting as well. So a great few stories in some of the county grounds. But anything catch your eyes, lads, on the Christmas market?
There's a book there, about hurling, but it's about pints. It's called A Beautiful Pint. If you ever follow a lad on Instagram there, Shitlund and Guinness, and he's a beautiful pint page. His name is E. Ryan, and his little book there. It's an easy read. It's just about Guinness in general, and a few stories, but, you know, it's a nice little kind of stocker filler for someone that might like an old pint, you'd say.
Right, you go for the Into Thin Air by John Cracker, which is a light read about a 1996 Everest disaster climbing, but for anyone that's into their sports, there's a good, the extreme sport I mentioned in is good as well. As well as all the usuals, the Andre Agassi and the Paul McGrath bios are solid reads, solid stock and fillers as well. Stephen, any atten from you? What's on your Christmas wish list?
Considering we're talking about talking on a hurling forum, I might get into trouble here, but there's an old Brazilian called Roberto whose book I'm interested in reading there when it comes out, or if it's not out already, you'll know him. I want young Firmino, so I don't know, should I be saying that on a hurling podcast? A few of the older fellas will be giving out about me now that I'm talking about a soccer book.
You're not a blue blood at all, but no, dog. Does Liam Sheedy he doesn't have a book out, does he?
I did see something recently about him, but I'm not sure what it was.
No, I know he's always into psychology. If it was a Warsaw and all, it'd be good, like, you know, kind of a. Maybe I'm thinking he does the kind of article in the paper, like, gives a good indication. But yeah, that might be one of the more interesting ones if it was done. I know Pat Spillane's went out on that, but Liam, if you're listening.
You'd love a GAA player to come out with a warts and all book, American style, where they're not afraid to talk up their own selves. You know, the LGA books now are getting a bit boring, where it's a team, and I wasn't great when I was growing up, and I was lucky to make the county. You know, I want someone to come out and say, hey, I was the top dog there. I led the show. I was the top scorer in the championship. You want someone to actually talk about their own feats and everything they did, their own achievements, was a bit of bravado as well. Exactly. Like, you know, I'd love to read a GA book like that.
Tell us something we don't know, I suppose, is half.
Yeah,
give us a real insight into what it's like. But look, even the books themselves are getting a bit sanitized a bit, so it's hard to get. There's loads of GA ones, that, so, you know, there's all, you know, like 50 GA objects and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they're there, but almost all morphing into one at this stage. So, anyone wants to send us a book for review, lads? Get on it. Right, we leave it there, men. That's a good year review, a bit of a preview as well. So, Merry Christmas to all our listeners, I suppose we better say.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Time for a few hotties, bye.
Exactly. Tis that time of year, the Premier View podcast social will be coming on strong. Right, well done.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.